We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm up your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CMOS. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CMOS to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Go CMOS girlies. It is Emma. I'm with my co-host, Kate. It is a gloomy, disgusting day in New York City. It's just not summer, even though it's like the middle of May. Well, not the middle of May, but I'm just kind of like, summer, where we at? Where we at? But hello, my dude. How are you?
Doing well. You know, at this time last year, we were recording the Hot Girl Summer episodes in anticipation of the Hot Girl Summer. We were on something else at that point. I need to like look back at like what sort of supplements and shit we were consuming because we had so much energy.
I'm convinced it was probably all like the crazy artificial sugars that were like running for bodies from like all the Zevia that we were drinking, because like,
dude,
that was
we would drink choice. We drink like 6 Zevias in a day. I just remember like wandering, and we'd always like text each other like, you get in the pack of Zevia, I'm getting the pack. Like, what the hell? Like, we were frat boat bros skis carrying around the Zevia. But yeah, it's not really fun. I thought the seasonal depression would be over, and now I feel like I'm back into like a second winter, which is like pretty fucking depressing. So I'm back into my uniform of wearing like, you know, 2 articles of clothing. I forgo to getting dressed ever again. But as we do, this is a founder interview. So you guys will hear from Lopa. Incredible convo. She was like so much fucking fun. Emma and I feel like we're giggling and like smirking the whole time because she gets it. She's a CMOS girly. She gets the shit. We're shooting the shit with her. But we have our random topics. So that's how we are going to, you know, start the episode and get you guys into this thing. So Emma, start us off, please.
Yeah. So I feel like I've been honestly pretty bored with like my supplements, which like sounds like dumb, but I like have not, like, I feel like I used to just like buy random supplements and be like, oh, this is gonna,
no,
like,
me too.
But I like have scaled back so much. Like I really only take like Athletic Greens and like vitamin D3. And I'm trying to be more like intentional with what I take, but I, you know, always hear like the importance of taking fish oil. And I listened to like a really long podcast about like a few different supplements that like you should like consider for like, you know, optimal health and like fish oil. They like went in depth and I was like, you know what? Let's fucking get some fish oil.
So
I bought fish oil capsules yesterday at Whole Foods. Took them today. I'll let you guys know if I feel anything, but I do know that like it's really great for like brain and heart health and a few other things. And I'm really hoping that I do feel some sort of difference from taking them. But the brand I got, I think, is like Nordic Naturals. I was like doing some research. Dr. Rhonda Patrick, I think is her name. She's like a pretty well-known, you know, scientist, PhD.
On the Huberman Lab, you're listening to it?
Well, I don't listen to her podcast, but I heard it from the Huberman Lab, but she's been on like Joe Rogan a lot, and which, you know, maybe some people
controversial,
but she's like really, really smart. And I just like Google search like at Whole Foods, like Dr. Rhonda Patrick, fish oil, and it was like Nordic.
Is this what you did? My Google search was the exact fucking same.
Oh my God.
As soon as we started talking about Nordic Naturals, I said, oh, this bitch.
I know where this is going.
I literally fucking Googled the same thing. Hold on. I'm searching this. I searched Dr. Rhonda, I'm going.
What website did it take you to?
Like a blog post by her.
Yes, like, yes, the blog post.
Yeah. Oh, Rhonda Patrick's fish oil protocol.
That is
bro on brainflow.co. That's what I was on. So I also was, yeah, omega-3 pilled, but I need to get some shit. Like, my supplement routine, if I'm going to be honest with the girlies, it's been very random the past few months because of my role as a niche wellness influencer. I just have gotten, like, a lot of products in my life and, like, work with a lot of brands that I actually like. And so I'm kind of deciding as a consumer, like, which ones of these do I actually want to take? Is that Athletic Greens? Is that Seed? Is that Ritual? Like, I still work with all of them, you know, just closing that relationship. So... And then I got my blood work, as you guys know, and I was way too high in like something. So I've been scaling it back, only taking Athletic Greens and my Brazil nut in the morning. But the fish oil thing, I was thinking about that as well, as Emma and I are biologically, you know, spiritually, mentally connected as wellness god sisters. So I went to Elm Drug and Wellness yesterday and I chatted with the owner over there. He's a freak. He's a wellness freak. He like doesn't stock certain places in his store. Like he doesn't stock Vital Proteins because he thinks it's like a shitty brand because they got like bought by a big monopoly. So love to shoot the shit with him. You know, I was the only person under 60 years old when I went there yesterday, classically, but I got the Nordic Naturals omega-3 oil. And he was describing to me like the difference between cod liver oil and omega-3 oil. And I said that like, yep, I eat fish probably like every other day. And he's like, well, you don't need that high of a dose. I would go for this oil. So what a fucking coincidence. Emma and I both have a little fish oil vendor the same week.
I feel like it was like about time for us to graduate to like that next level of like supplements. And I'm surprised I haven't like taken like fish oil. Like I'm surprised I haven't started taking it like a lot sooner, but you know,
here we are. We're on a fish oil vendor. That's the new trending thing. Get the fish oil. We'll start popping off and posting memes about that. And I feel like everyone's going to get their fish oil like they do with magnesium. Mm-hmm. Next is just a small side tangent for me. It's the word freak. I love using the word freak. Like anytime you see someone, just be like, oh, they're such a freak. If a dude sends you a weird DM, just be like I'm going to block that freak. Like I just love calling people a freakazoid. I just find it's like the perfect cadence. It like rolls off the tongue really well. You can use it in so many situations. It's like slightly, you know, rude and derogatory and mean, but it also is like a pretty neutral sound as well. You're not calling someone like a cunt, you're just being like, god, you're a freak. So I like saying that. Next.
Love that for you. Yeah, you have been saying freak a lot, I've noticed. I haven't picked it up yet from you. I feel like sometimes we exchange each other's like language, but shit. I've been like blowing through arugula bins like crazy. Like I just buy the small bins because I don't have enough space in my refrigerator.
And, wait, I have a side tangent. You know, as our meme brains are always working, TikTok idea based on your statement of blowing through arugula bins. Arugula bin, get a video of you like tossing it in the recycling, you know, maybe stack up like 3 or 4 and insert the song Blow by Kesha.
Honestly, smart. I will.
Okay, coming soon. The TBD.
There we go. But I don't know if the bins have gotten smaller or if my like arugula consumption has just like increased. But I swear there are like a few products that I swear I am buying every other day at the grocery store: arugula and cucumbers.
Yep.
And like now I like have to buy like 3 bins of arugula at once, or just like the one massive one. But I'm just like, what is going on? So if anyone else can relate to just like eating hella greens, I mean, I'm not like complaining, but I'm just like, what is going on? I feel like you like blow through arugula bins like crazy too.
Yeah. So as your fish oil point, I've had the same pain point as you. So I noticed this when I went to the Cursed Mulberry Mart, Emma, mm-hmm. and I looked at their arugula bins and it was like 16 ounces. The ones at Whole Foods, even the big ones, are only 12 ounces.
Okay.
So you are getting gypped. You are getting gypped in some way. I had this realization, I think, in January, because I had the same thing. I was going through arugula.
I don't even like read like the
size. I know.
Or anything on arugula, or like.
But she's a little bit skinnier than the one you can get. Like that's the full size.
Yeah.
The more you know. Also, I know that you have to like the Whole Foods. This is like a Whole Foods thing in the self checkout. You have to like hold down the QR code, or it fucks up when you bring it over. Have you had that problem?
I haven't had that issue.
They always like
will next time I go.
It like rung it off because there's like a barcode and then there's a QR code. And so when you
I've had that issue with like other products, and then like the person has to come. And
yeah,
you know, I honestly don't know how I'm trying to debate how I feel about like the self-checkouts at Whole Foods. Like for some aspects, it's like it is convenient, but I'm just like, this is fucking weird that I'm like checking out my own produce and like my own food at the grocery store.
I mean, we know that all Japanese sweet potatoes are russets in my book.
I'm ringing up large Haas avocados as medium sized avocados.
Yeah.
Like,
Come on. I know that all, like, my pistachios are definitely just, like, almonds. They're not, there's nothing there. Like, roasted almonds.
And it's so funny, because, like, I feel like whenever I buy cucumbers, back to, like, cucumbers, there's, like, you know, three different, like, types you can fucking get.
Yeah.
Like, Kirby, whatever, blah, 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 English slicing. And so I'll, like, pick up the most random cucumber. Like, I'm not consistent which one I get. And then I go to, like, the checkout, and then I type in cucumber, and it's, like, four different options. I'm, like, I literally don't know what the difference is between, like, any of these.
Maybe you should do an episode about cucumbers.
So I just, like, try to, like, choose the what I think is going to be the cheapest one, and sometimes I end up, you know, choosing the most expensive one. Sometimes it's the cheapest. I'm never consistent.
Yeah,
but that makes up for, you know, the other ways that I scam through the system.
Yeah, you're just gambling. Back to the QR code. So if you hold down the QR code with your fingers and then scan the barcode, it doesn't cause an issue, and you don't have to have someone come and, like, help you. So that's just a hack.
Okay.
In the future. Next thing, I also agree with Emma, where when I first, you know, when we were bushy-eyed and bright-tailed, I never can say that right. Bushy-eyed. Oh my God. Bushy-tailed and bright-eyed. Back when we, like, first get into the wellness, just going to local health stores all the time, I would always pick up a random supplement, like you were saying, whether it's tart cherry extract, whether it's something like that, you know, a random thing. And like, that was back in our chlorophyll days. Like, we'd get, like, the randomest shit. And so yesterday when I was at Elm, it's like, you know what, as a gag gift to myself, I'm buying sea moss. And so I bought golden sea moss gel, and, you know, I took a teaspoon yesterday, I took a teaspoon today. Have I felt any fucking tangible difference? No. But I figured, you know, being one of the sea moss girlies, the sea moss queens in this damn town, I should have some sea moss. So I did that. And then I took my little walk home, which gets to my next point, and I walked by just the most cursed, long-lasting establishment. There's two places in New York that I think actually will never go out of business. One is what I'm going to talk about, and the second one is going to be Rice to Riches. If you don't know what that is, it's in Soho, Nolita area. Rice pudding, it's like a frozen yogurt place, but it's rice pudding. They have the most random fucking store decor ever. On the outside, it's like, no fat bitches, like, skinny bitches eat here, stuff like that. I'm like, how are we still, who's, you're in New York. There's not, like, you're not in the middle of fucking nowhere with one restaurant, millions of restaurants, and you say, yes, the rice pudding place, Rice to Riches. But it stays open. It stayed open through the entire fucking pandemic. Ponzi scheme, no idea.
I feel like I tried to go down, like, a Reddit rabbit hole into, like, figuring out how, like, Rice to Riches has, like, managed to stay around. And I feel like there is a thread that I did come across, but
okay,
yeah, random behavior.
I need to start a conspiracy on TikTok about it, and then, like, that'll get to the right people. The second establishment that I think will stay open forever, just in my, you know, opinion, is this place in Soho on Spring Street, right when you're going to walk towards the Trader Joe's crossing 6th Avenue. It is a place that sells soap or candles. Which one is it? I forget, but it's cupcakes. Is it candles or soap? I'm so confused.
I'm pretty sure they're candles that are in the shape of cupcakes.
Okay, yeah. So you walk by, like, that Dominique Anzel, where everyone's waiting for the Corona, like, a fucking idiot. Why are we waiting in lines, people? Why are we waiting in lines? And you go by this place, and yeah, there's these cupcakes, and there's, like, people, like, come smell our cupcakes. They're candles. And I'm like, what the fuck? But it stayed open. And they, I don't know, seem to be doing swimmingly with their business. So that's fun for them.
On for them. Yeah, I guess it's so funny how we just, like, go down this list and I'm like, what's next?
What's next?
So I don't know when this episode's gonna go out. So anyway, the time that we're recording this, I'm going home, like, in a few days. Two of my brothers are graduating, one from 8th grade and one from high school. And I feel like I'm at that point in life where, like, I actually look forward to going home, and I almost, like, enjoy being home with my family more than I enjoy being an adult in New York. And I think it's just because, like, it's, like, finally a chance where, like, I get to be a baby again, and my parents are, like, wanting to, like, take care of me and, like, wanting to, like, spoil me, and, like, I don't have to, you know, buy groceries and whatnot. But I also just, like, I don't know if I'm just, like, bored with New York, but I just am kind of, like, wow, my, like, I sort of enjoy the quietness and, like, the slowness of, like, you know, the pace of life back home in, like, the suburbs. And so if anyone else is, you know, a young adult, you probably can relate to that too, where you're just, like, being 20 years old, trying to, like, navigate the world and, like, trying to be financially, like, independent for once is, like, exhausting and just, like, evil in so many ways. So yeah, I'm really excited to go home. I feel like when I was in high school, or not high school, but, like, college, I'd be, like, you know, always, like, pissed when I would have to go home. But, you know, change of heart, I enjoy seeing the fam now. So yeah, I'm excited to go home. Maybe you guys will see some Midwest content. Maybe you won't.
Who knows? No, I agree with that. I feel like it's really frustrating as, like, a young adult. I was actually watching a TikTok about this, and someone's like, it's a lot more enjoyable to be 30 in New York than it is 20. And, you know, the biggest reason was that, like, you have more money. you have more disposable income to spend, where it's like now it's like every paycheck you make, you're just thinking about like it's gone, it's gone.
I feel like that's like my issue, where it's like all my coworkers, and I feel like a lot of people that I follow on social media are like, you know, 30, 35. And so I'm like, oh yeah, makes sense that you guys can like afford to go on trips and like buy like clothes, go out for dinner. Not that like, and I mean, so yeah, whenever I feel like I get my paycheck and I feel like I just like live in this like crazy, like scarcity mindset where I'm like, I can't spend any of my money. Like, and I swear just like, all it does just end up going to like fucking like rent and like groceries and stuff. Yeah. But then I'm just like, yeah, then it's just like, you're not like satisfied. Cause then it's like, oh yeah, like I like haven't purchased like something nice for me in like months. And not saying that like, you know, I couldn't do that if I didn't want to, but I'm just like, is that worth it? Then I just feel like it like turns into like a terrible like mental game in my head. And I think that's like one thing that I've like been trying to remind myself. And I think it's like, you know, a good life tip for everyone. If you like, do you feel like, you know, not super like stable in your like current life, you know, if you got like your first job outside of college, or after graduating college, you know, the pay is obviously not going to be like, you know, top tier because it's like an entry level position. And I think just like remembering that, like, okay, you're going to be making more money in like 10, you know, in 10 years, like this isn't going to be the exact pay that you're going to have forever.
Yeah. But... and I think adding off that it's just really hard to feel like, you know, I feel very like I am living in the present moment for once. I think every point in my life, I've always been like reflecting on the past way too fucking much or harping on the future. But then again, when you're in the present, like I can't imagine my life to not be exactly how it is right now. Like my routine right now to not be the same. Like, I don't know if I want to have kids, but I just can't imagine like, oh my God, I'm going to like wake up next to someone. I'm dead. Wow. You know, I'm going to have to work different hours one day. I'm going to have to like have a job that requires me to do different stuff sometime. Like that's scary to me to have that uncertainty. But then at the same time, like, yeah, you don't know, like you could be making like X amount more dollars the next year. So it is really weird. I feel that too. I'm like, why the fuck are people always traveling? Like that's one thing where I'm like Instagram. I'm just like, why? Like, oh my God. Cause I went to LA and then after that, I was like, I'm never going on a trip again. That was so fucking expensive. For what? For me to convince myself that like being in a new state, like brought me to a higher being, like it fucking didn't, you know? Yeah. So I feel you on that. My last point is literally stupid, is that I'm a corporation now actually, which is, you know, an L for capitalism and a W for me for tax purposes, I guess. But yeah, I guess since I'm a freelancer, I need to protect myself from the big bad corporations. And now if people don't pay me, I can like get really like legalistic and like be a bastard to them. So I've had this one, you know, repeat client who shall not be named that has not paid me. And I found out today, Emma, that like everyone that I was in contact with at that company quit in March, which is why I haven't been paid.
I saw your tweet.
Fucking iconic, because they were the bane of my fucking existence. So if you're a freelancer, you're a micro influencer girly and you want to talk about taxes, hit me up. I can give you my tax guy. Shout out Scott Perrin. I'll give you a shout out, my new CPA. But if you listen to the intro, Em and I are super excited about this combo. It's all about adaptogens. We are interviewing the founder of Rasa, a coffee alternative company. We learn a lot about adaptogens, and you guys are really going to enjoy this conversation because Lopa tells us a lot about like how to source adaptogens, like what is bullshit on the market. And it was just really refreshing to hear someone who is in the industry talk about like, yeah, a lot of this is bullshit and a lot of it is just like capitalism. So that was a fun convo.
Yeah, she's really cool. There's also going to be like, yeah, you'll hear in the episode, but a little cheeky discount code and whatnot. And yeah, I think you guys will find this episode really enlightening.
Yeah. So we hope you guys enjoy, and let's get into the convo.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Our next partner is a product that Emma and I take every single day. I started taking Athletic Greens because I wanted to find a greens powder that actually blended together.
The taste is hands down the best greens powder I've been able to find. It even has a mild tropical taste, and you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, adaptogens, you name it.
For me, I started taking Athletic Greens because I wanted a supplement that actually tastes great. I've always known that taking a greens powder is a great addition to one's wellness routine, but I could just never get past the unpleasant taste. This completely changed once I started taking Athletic Greens. It tastes so good that I actually look forward to drinking it every morning, something I never knew was possible. Plus, Athletic Greens contains dairy-free probiotics, and let me tell you, my digestion has never been better.
Another thing that Emma and I love is that it's the one thing with the best things. Athletic Greens uses the best of best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing.
It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go visit athleticgreens.com/CMOS. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CMOS to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Meet Rootless, the daily bite, a whole food, once daily nutrition bite.
The goal of Rootless is to make the incredible benefits of seaweed accessible to everyone in an easy and delicious format, because all wellness gods love iodine.
Each daily bite provides 60% of your daily iodine needs, 20% of your daily iron needs, and 40 plus essential nutrients and bioactives.
The bites are made from sustainably sourced seaweed, almonds, dates, and seeds, and they come in 3 delicious flavors, including coconut chai, double strawberry, and orange pistachio. I love taking mine in the morning with a cup of coffee. It is such a pleasant way to start my day.
You can use code CMOS Girlies for 15% off Rootless starter kits. Now back to the show. Hello, CMOS Girlies. We are back with another interview. You guys have given us great feedback on these episodes. It's a gloomy Friday afternoon here in New York, but we are here with Lopa, and we are here to talk all things about adaptogens, coffee, wellness culture. So we are so excited to have you on the show.
Woohoo. Thanks. Me too. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah. So to start us off, Emma and I will already sort of introduce you to our CMOS girlies, but we would love if you could provide a little intro about yourself to the girls from you yourself.
Yes. So my name is Lopa. I'm the founder and CEO of Rasa. I am a mom of 2 very feral boys, and we like them that way. And I got into this a little bit by accident. Before this, I worked in climate tech. I was a co-founder in a couple of businesses there. And before that was really, really focused on spiritual practice and getting enlightened in this lifetime, which is still a core focus, but just, you know, sort of in the background a little bit more.
Awesome. Definitely an interesting background. You're definitely, you know, very busy, I'm sure, being a founder, CEO, and a mother. How did you come to like start Rasa? Like, have you always been involved in wellness? And like, what was kind of like that, you know, like light bulb moment where you're like, I need to do this like full time and like dedicate myself to starting Rasa?
Yeah. So necessity is the mother of invention, they say. And for me, becoming a mother was the necessity that drove that invention. So I had a stupidly stressful year, 1 year. When I say stressful, I mean traumatic. Let's be clear. deeply traumatic year. And then I had a baby. And so my baby's waking me up all hours of the night. My nervous system is fucking fried from all the trauma. And I'm like, I need something to keep me going. And my friends are like, dude, coffee. And I've been a long time Ayurveda practitioner. By practitioner, I mean like I practice it. I don't actually do it to other people. I'm not trained in that way, but I love Ayurveda. And coffee's never been a great fit for my system. I'm a Vata and Vata Pitta in Ayurveda, and it's not a great match. And so I was always like, really, coffee? All right, well, I was never much of a coffee drinker before, but even my Ayurveda friends were like, dude, this is the time you just don't care. You just drink the coffee. And so I tried coffee like a few times, and it was so phenomenally no in my body. It was just like, nope. Jitters, anxiety, full-blown panic attacks, like episodes of rage, you know, waking up more than my baby was waking me up. Like it was just really very clear. It was just, you know, not... I wasn't pious by quitting. It was just like, nope. So I tried all the coffee alternatives out there And they were underwhelming, honestly. And this was at the time then, which was 2015, late 2015. So it was before this whole boom of coffee alternatives and it's cool to quit coffee and stuff started happening. And so I was like, nobody has made the apotheosis of coffee alternatives yet. And granted, there are other companies coming out, but we are still totally the apotheosis of coffee alternatives. And so I've been into adaptogens since way before they were cool. I started taking them probably in like late 2008, 2009, that sort of thing. And just getting a real, and knew what they were and, you know, was educating myself on them, et cetera. And I also know enough to know that if you don't know, you don't know. So actually working with an herbalist is important. There's a lot of companies out there, and when we get to what we hate about the wellness world, dish on this for a bit, that are just like, cool, trendy ingredients. I Googled it and it looks great. I'm going to put it in there. That'll be awesome.
So much of that shit out there. Emma and I were joking. We saw a peanut butter that apparently had like reishi in it or something like that.
Oh my God, peanut butter reishi, just fuck.
Well, and like, you know, you really question the ethics of these products. Once again, they're like marketing on like a trendy adaptogen and there's probably like 0.00% of anything in there.
Don't get me started. Yeah. Like, so not actually going to be effective. So it's a waste of fucking herbs.
Yeah.
So anyway, I worked with an herbalist. I actually worked with a clinical herbalist and to create the formula. And we just had this, like this moment. I had this eureka moment of like, when I was sitting there being like, okay, coffee gave me all these side effects. I know from my experience with Ayurveda that it's not actually the best medicine for many people. Mm-hmm. And yet we're fucking hooked up to an IV of it and we don't even question it. And we're like, well, I don't know, my sleep sucks and I'm really stressed and, you know, tight all the time and kind of wired and tired and depleted, but I'll keep drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And I was like, what would happen if everybody was just even 5% more chilled out because they drank the right thing in the morning? They drank something that nourished them and gave them energy for today, but also replenished their deeper energy stores for the day. And so like, that was kind of the mission, was like, can we transform the way people energize? And so that was 2015. And then we hard launched in 2018 because parenting is hard and recovering from trauma is hard. Here we are.
That's awesome to hear. And like, I love how much of your personal journey is kind of focused on the products, like kind of the wellness culture stuff. It just seems like there's so many brands out there and I'm like, why does this exist? And like hearing your personal story and narrative and like the fact that you went to the herbalist and did all of these steps to make sure the product is still a premium product is incredible to hear. So love that. Kind of the next question, you know, I've been doing this for a while and like you've seen a lot in the wellness space. Like, what's kind of the most rewarding thing when you wake up every day and you're like, I'm so happy I took that step and started the company? Is it like DMs from customers? Is it like the, you know, getting the product to the final form? Like what kind of gets you going about having a company?
Yeah. Great question. And I'll preface this by saying, you know, it's so easy to, in our culture, in Instagram culture, to focus on the things that are amazing and wonderful. And I just want to say, I'm going to tell you the things that are amazing and wonderful. And it has been so fucking hard. So like the number of times I have been to the brink of my sanity, of the brink of quitting, the brink of you know, all of it and back again is a lot. And I'm in a really good space with it right now and have been for a while. And that's been a hard earned thing. And so now I'm also in a place of like, oh my God, I can celebrate what's great about this. There's so much that's great about it. So for me, a big part of it is like the sheer joy of creation is actually just such a wonderful thing. Like seeing the product and being like, it's here, seeing it in the wild, you know, when people, my friends take a picture at their friend's house and they're like, oh, this friend has Rasta. And I was like, that's my friend. I love that stuff. And, you know, when people tell me, and then that leads into the customer reviews and people telling me how it's affected their lives. You know, I was in one of our stores the other day and he was like, oh my God, you're the founder. Like, I'm totally having a fanboy moment. And he's like, I just need to tell you, it really got me through some hard times. And he told me about the hard times and how it helped. And I mean, we just get incredible brand love, and it's, you know, when you have effective products, they can actually change people's lives. And so that's the difference, you know, if you have products that are made by an herbalist versus somebody that put 2 fucking milligrams of something because it's trendy, that's not going to change anybody's life. But when you have effective doses of things, it actually can, these plants are incredible and they can actually change people's lives. And so we're getting to do that. And then lastly, I would say, so the sheer joy of creating, the customer love we get, and then my team is awesome. I really like working with the people that I get to work with. And so, and we have just a lot of fun, you know, it's like, it's not boring corporate culture. And as we grow, we're really trying to preserve that, you know, like we've written, like I actually went through, we had an employee handbook and I spent hours going through 40 pages of this bullshit legal stuff and made it funny and like put like your mom jokes in there. And you know, there were some that the HR guy was like, you can't
legally don't do that.
But, you know, don't talk about granny porn in the employee handbook.
And how many employees do you have right now? How big is the company?
I would just changed a little bit. So I think it's either 15 or 16.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So a full team, it feels like, you know, when we go to our co-working space, it's like, oh, the Rasa team's here.
That's beautiful. Well, you already kind of touched on this, and Kate and I are definitely very interested to hear what your thoughts are and like what you kind of like love and hate about wellness culture. Kate and I definitely talk a lot about things that we dislike. So yeah, kind of if you want to go all out and yeah, let us know what you do love and hate.
Awesome. So on the love front, I mean, I love that fundamentally wellness culture is about that pull to connect with what's behind the surface and like to connect with not just our health, but our deeper selves. And that sincere impetus to be our best selves that's in all of us. It's like that little bit of like, ah, oh, that's right. I like there's a Zen teacher that has a quote that you're perfect exactly as you are, and you could be a little bit better. And like whole, I feel like there's in some of what I see in the wellness world feels like it encapsulates that very nicely right now, like this celebration of as you are-ness and, you know, like take a little step towards more of what we want to become. So I love that about it fundamentally. I love when I find brands and products that are, that have integrity, that is unfortunately rare, but it makes it really that much more exciting when I find it. And so people that are doing really good work on the sustainability front, people that are, you know, high integrity on the herbalism front, people that aren't just like capitalize on a trend, guys, yeah, this market's going to be, you know, mm-hmm, go fuck yourself.
You know, agree. And that's awesome to hear considering like you probably, you know, it's hard to say that when you are still in the industry to like have that position where you're like, I think that's kind of Emma and I, we were very hesitant, I feel like, to ever talk about wellness and like position ourselves in the wellness industry because we just like don't like so much of it. And it's like, well, if we don't go there and like fight it and try to make it better and like more sustainable and like more equitable, then like who's going to do it? Like the bad guys are still going to run it. So like, exactly. Totally agree there.
I remember when I found you guys, I was like, oh my God, they're my people.
They get it. Aw. That's kind of awesome. So leading into the next question, this can include products. This can just be like rituals that have sort of like changed your life. But what are some like wellness things that you do or products? Like, I think a lot of our podcast listeners are, you know, younger. They're like looking for new things maybe to add to their routine. So what are some like non-negotiable things that you do to stay well?
Totally. I am happy to go there, and I did not get to dish on what I hate. Can I do
it? Oh yeah. No, go ahead. Sorry. We cut you off.
I was so excited about that.
Do it. We're with you. We're haters.
Big haters. So I mean, I think fundamentally what wellness ends up doing at its best, it's that pull to connect with ourselves and to express that. At its worst, it's taking that and commodifying it, mm-hmm, and taking our health and our deeper selves and making a personal brand out of it, making, you know, a way of projecting an ego, a picture perfect ego out into the world. And I think that that's just fundamentally like at its core, that's the worst of wellness, I think, because you take something beautiful, good and pure, and then fucking try and sell it.
Totally.
And like, there we go. It's capitalism applied to some of our most pure impulses.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's like a lot of other, adaptogen stuff and lack of integrity in businesses and companies charging way, just like this mentality of how much can I charge for this? You know, it's just like, I'm not going to name names because that's not how I roll, but I need you to know that there are companies out there that are like, we've got a 90% margin because we can, which means like, it's just not a fair price for the customer. And, it's just all branding.
So, kind of interrupting there about adaptogens, since you are like such an expert in this space, I feel like even myself as a consumer, I often get duped or like don't really know what to look out for. So what's kind of like a quick like consumer guide that you think could be applicable when people are maybe on the internet or maybe at their health store of like how to know what's legit?
God, we literally just wrote a book on this. We're not publishing it, so it's an ebook. Mm-hmm. But it is 40 pages.
And, that's awesome.
Because we were like, okay, people need to know what they are, like what is an adaptogen, what is not. It's a scientific term, not a marketing term. Here are the actual adaptogens. Here is who and how that is defined, who defines that. We just soft launched it. So I believe that we can share it so it can go in your show notes.
Good
reference guide for, I think, you know, the people listening now are the type of people who are going to just eat this up because you're just already really, really savvy consumers. And there's so much misinformation out there. And I would say that the thing that pisses me off the most is what we call adaptogen washing, when they call something an adaptogen and it's not. So for example, a lot of people are like, oh, functional mushrooms, all adaptogens. No, they're not actually. And because in order to be an adaptogen, it has to have these four core criteria. And I don't know how much you want to get into the science of it and all that, but it's all in the guide. So think like lion's mane is not an adaptogen. Chaga is not an adaptogen. There's only three adaptogenic mushrooms, and that's reishi, cordyceps, and poria, which do all happen to be, shameless plug, in our magnificent mushrooms products. And then all the other mushrooms are still phenomenal, but they don't have that adaptogenic effect in your body, which is that normalizing, non-toxic, non-specific, neuroendocrine impact, the four ends of adaptogens. So, first and foremost, I would say go to companies that have an herbalist or someone who is some type of expert, in that realm, because they're going to be the ones that are looking at effective dose. You want to, ideally, they're sharing the dosage on the packaging. Now, some of our products we don't, because it ends up like that's a trade secret formula. And if we give that whole thing away, but if we're using extracts, we tell you exactly how much it is. And so like, you know, if anybody has a question about a specific ingredient, we'll totally ask them. We just don't pull formula. I bet at some point, if everybody wanted to like do a campaign and be like, did Rasa tell anybody about rhodiola? I shouldn't say this. Jesus, shut your mouth.
Nah, you're safe with us. You get a lot of like 16-year-olds in Denmark listening to this, so I don't think we're gonna have anyone coming at you here.
Hey, 16-year-olds in Denmark, that's awesome. I love Denmark. I would say go for herbalist formulated brands, people that share their doses, that give a fuck about sustainability, because there is actually some increasing concerns around some of these. As they get more popular, then they get less sustainable. And so you want somebody who's actually paying attention to that kind of stuff. If you give a fuck, and I'm sure all of you do, and thank God for you for that. I would say that's probably enough for right now. And then download the adaptogens guide so you can get the full, like you will be really well equipped once you read that to just know the space and know
that's awesome.
What's good.
Yeah, our girlies literally like take notes during the episode. So I'm sure they will like love an extra, you know, summer reading assignment to do with this ebook.
Best. Awesome.
Yeah. Back to wellness rituals. Okay. I'm sure a lot of it probably has to deal with like maybe cutting out coffee and finding alternatives for that, but anything else that kind of has helped you stay chill perhaps, or like the other things you do?
Oh yeah, definitely. I have my ride or dies on that. For one, I mean, just cause you mentioned it, I wasn't a coffee drinker anyway, but the point is not cutting out coffee. The point is finding your right relationship with your energy. So if coffee is working for you, there are some people that it works really well for. Now I will say, if you have not ever quit coffee, try it. Try quitting for a month, because it will tell you so much about your relationship to that substance, because it is physically dependency forming. It can be really helpful to pull it out of your system and just be like, oh, okay, this is what that was doing. And then you can engage with it a little bit more consciously. So I do definitely recommend that. But then, you know, find your right relationship. If, you know, people on the Rasa team joke like, oh my God, I'm having a coffee and nobody look. And it's like, no, it's fine. I mean, of course we're a coffee alternative company, but we're no shade. I drink coffee. The right amount for me is like 1 to 2 normal coffees a month, maybe. And then I have Dirty Rasa, which has coffee in it. Probably once or twice a week, sometimes 3. And like last month I probably had coffee 5 times and it felt fine. You know, that's the right balance for me. So it's about finding your right relationship with your energy. And then beyond that, my critical rituals at this point, I practice an ancient Indian martial art called Kalari. And that is my, like, if I do that, my world is really okay. And if I don't, everything is a little bit harder. It's not very well known because it almost died out under British rule, but now it's starting to come back and you will start to see it coming out to the West. If you want to check it out, you can follow me on Instagram. I post my videos of it. Lopa loves you. And hopefully we'll get my Kalari teacher out here from India at some point. So yeah, That's my main thing. It's a phenomenal strength, flexibility, cardiovascular capacity, but moreover, it's actually a spiritual practice of its own. It's considered the oldest martial art in the world, and it's designed to awaken Kundalini. So like the energy that you get from it is phenomenal. Like you don't need coffee, you're fine. You know, just drink Rasa and do Kalari and you'll be totally good. At least for me. And then another practice for me is Abhyanga, which is oil massage, the Ayurvedic oil massage. Ayurveda is really about oil everywhere, as much oil as possible everywhere all the time. So oil in your nose, oil in your ears, oil up your butt. You know? Massaging with oil before you shower, like it just gives you this layer of protection and nourishment, and your skin is amazing and glows. And it's, you're not just slapping oil on your body, you're actually giving yourself a little self-love through your own touch. So it's a really amazing practice, Abhyanga it's called. I'm getting a little bit older. I'm 39. So, you know, skincare stuff is real. I finally just ordered, it's not here, but I've been like carrying it around right next to me, gua sha, and I love it. Oh my God. And I'm actually looking at my skin. I'm like, oh my God, it's really working. It just brings so much vitality and circulation and all that to it. So I've been really into the gua sha. And then like duh, Rasa, you know, I drink the shit out of my products.
Love that.
Hell yeah. I feel like you kind of already touched on this, but are there any other maybe like underrated, like wellness, like tips or rituals that you have when it comes to like, you know, caring for your hormones, mental health, physical health, just like any other additional like tips that you personally implement in your own life that you think other people would maybe, you know, be curious about?
Yeah. I mean, fundamentally, I have a history of Ayurveda, so I often go back to that, but the 3 pillars are food, sleep, and sex. And then there's sort of a 4th pillar of exercise. And so you kind of look at how are those operating in your life. And if one is going well, it can help to uphold the other ones and create an upward spiral with the other ones. So it depends on what's going on. And then also if one's kind of failing, you might need to focus on that one a little bit more. So I look at it from this perspective of like, okay, you know, and it's not just like, are you having sex, but are you having the right quality of sex? Are you not having too much sex? Are you having, you know, good sex with yourself? Are you, you know, like just how are you taking care of yourself sexually? How is your sleep, the quality of your sleep? How is the food? We often in wellness focus a little bit more on what we're consuming, I think, because capitalism. Yeah. And just, you know, the onslaught of marketing that we get, that it's like, you need to consume something, but you don't actually, go that deeper step to like what humans have known for thousands of years of just these basics of how we take care of ourselves. And then, you know, beyond that, for me, spiritual practice is really important. And how I'm connecting to that deeper sense of self, is like, can have such a profound effect on my life and my existence. And I would say it doesn't have to be like a religion. It doesn't have to be, you know, like we all have our things, but we all have an experience of the sacred no matter what, like all of us, even if you are a car mechanic, like a gorgeous engine is going to give you that sense of the sacred, whatever it is. So just follow that. And really know that we have one precious life, you know, that we have here, and you following your what brings you joy, what sparks your inspiration, is actually incredibly powerful medicine for, and I would say like, that's a kind of wellness that we're not often thinking about, that deeper sense of wellness of, am I expressing the self that I'm supposed to be in this life? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? We get caught up in the like, oh, like, okay, I'll have this at 4 o'clock and then I'll do this. And then, you know, like just kind of hacking it. But it gets that bigger question of what is it all for? What is it?
Yeah. Oh my God. That was like a perfect, I feel like, inspirational quote, like sound bit right there. Cause I feel like so stuck in the consumerism sometimes, right? Like, am I doing everything right? Am I taking all the right products? And I think that's inevitable when you're getting into the wellness space. Like a lot of our listeners are beginners or younger. And I know when I was at least like learning about the wellness world, it was so much focus on like, what am I consuming to like get to this place of joy? And you know, you're not gonna be able to capitalize in your way to like a higher self. So love to hear that.
That's a great soundbite. You're not going to be able to capitalism your way to a higher self. I love
Yeah. That. Regardless of what you can buy, like there's still so many issues, like you're saying. Yeah. So with another kind of a random question, not really random, but you know, Emma and I love to eat funky snacks. You know, we always joke, we'll like eat, you know, weird stuff while we're cooking, or like just weird wellness things that you want to like try to hack. So what are some like recipes you follow that can be totally normal and like things you just love to cook throughout the week, or like some funky tonic recipes you may have, some snack combos that people might be like, what the hell are you doing? Like some food if you're in a road trip that you take. So what's some like food stuff you like doing?
All right. Weird snack first and foremost, because every time I'm eating this, I'm like, if somebody saw me right now, like, I think I was okay.
You know, like,
paleo puffs with like plant-based cream cheese. It's especially the no cheese cheesiness paleo puffs. Like I have had that for breakfast. I can't tell you how many times.
Okay. That is an amazing one. Wow. Yeah. Pretty tough strong.
Yeah, you know, I don't at me. I try hard at this. And then also paleo puffs and bitchin' sauce is another great combination. I really like the paleo puffs, they're way too addictive. So yeah, that's a great one. Favorite food in general, like probably desert island food would actually be salmon. And my husband really likes to talk about and bring up many, many, many times about the big fight we had on our anniversary. Because he ate more than half the salmon at the sushi restaurant.
Damn. Oh my God. That would be that would be a fight for me as well.
So it's not about salmon. That's what we always, it's not about the salmon. It's about, were you paying attention to like my experience and all that? But he's always like, we go to restaurants now and he's like, can I get extra salmon?
Salmon is a metaphor for life, yeah, for totally. Sharing. Yeah. Love that.
It really is. And then tonic recipe. I mean, I you know, go to my own products for this, really. My let's put the best possible shit into a cup ever, which all of Rasa is, but it's like my own personal favorite combination of that is, I don't have all of it here, but oh, actually, wow, I do. Holy shit. There we go. Okay, cool. Our super happy sunshine, all right, that is not that. This is our calm plus our super happy sunshine. So this one's like vanilla, roasty, super calming, high dose of ashwagandha. Mm-hmm. Super happy sunshine has what Vice magazine calls, or vice.com calls, nature's MDMA in it. This incredible herb called Scalidium, also known as Kana. Those two brewed together with, I just had it, the magnificent mushrooms, which is like a super, the most potent mushroom product that we have seen so far in the market. And we've looked at obviously like all of it before we actually did this. That brewed together, and then our creme de la creamer with some manuka honey or just whatever sweetener I've got on. It's like, oh, heaven in a cup. And you get this like uplifted but chill feeling, and also really supported from the mushrooms. And that's just, that's my go-to these days.
That sounds delicious. I've been loving the spicy cacao one that you guys have. Super duper good, super like warming. Do you have maybe any other like additional tips on like how to use adaptogens other than like tonic recipes? I know a lot of our listeners are always like seeking out, tips on, whether they can like cook or bake with them. Do you have any other additional, kind of like tips of how to incorporate adaptogens into your life? And also just maybe like how to stick to like some sort of like, wellness routine or, sticking to like a routine that does incorporate adaptogens.
Yeah. This is going to sound like a plug, but it's not intended to be, but it's about actually consuming them daily because they're meant to be consumed on a consistent basis when you're using what I would call tonic doses. So if you're doing something that's more of an acute dose, like, you're really trying to work on your mood, and so you're high dosing rhodiola or something like that, you'll want to do that for a discrete amount of time, like a couple of weeks, and you'll want to cycle that. But beyond that, adaptogens have a cumulative effect on the body. So literally the more you take them, the more you feel them. And there are some herbalists that say, like, for example, Eleuthero, which is an adaptogen that's in most of the Rasa products, that you don't really get to know what it's doing in your system until you've been taking it every day for 6 months. Now, nobody wants to hear that in our culture, but like that's the actual fact, which is one of the reasons why we're like, oh, put it in a coffee alternative. And then it gets into this daily ritual that people are already doing. And so then there's a chance that they're actually going to drink it every day and be able to have the real benefits. And I can say from my own experience, after drinking Rasa daily for 9 months, it was like, I don't have an afternoon crash anymore. Like if I do, I know something's wrong. I know like, okay, right, I'm sick, or, that becomes a nice diagnostic tool for me, but I'm pretty even keel, like tons of energy basically until I go to sleep. unless it's like super stressful, whatever. So first and foremost, try and get them in every day. And in the wellness world, there's a bit of a like, oh, I had a little bit of ashwagandha the other day, and then today I'm going to add reishi because I'm feeling like it. And that's not going to get you the real effect. Like see it as you're building a relationship with these plants. So if you're like, okay, I want to, first you want to look at like, what is the result that you want? Maybe you want to chill out. So, I would go for ashwagandha or reishi for that. Both of which are in high dose in our calm blend. maybe you're like, I'm going to do ashwagandha and reishi. Let's just say like pick those and then get to know those plants, like have them every day, take them in different formats, do the thing where you cook it traditionally in the Ayurvedic way and some milk with some ghee. You can use plant milk, of course, for the ashwagandha or take a reishi tincture. They just try it in different ways and just sort of have this sense of like you're meeting another entity and what is its effect on your system. And then try not having it and seeing how it affects you. Take a little bit of notes. Like you can actually build a real relationship with it and see and really like experiment in the laboratory of your own existence, of your own body. And that is going to give you so much more than anything else, like you become more of the arbiter of your own destiny with your health when you engage in that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like letting the products kind of like, you are ruling the products, they're not like ruling your life, is awesome to hear.
Yeah.
Cause I think like it gets very chaotic and confusing of like, oh my God, I need all these things and I'm going to take all of them and don't know which one's working. So love that approach to it.
And then I'll say too, just as a caveat, like no product is going to fix or change a lifestyle that is not sustainable for you. So you have to look at, there's this study that has been, that was done with adaptogens, and I don't remember which adaptogen specifically, it might've been ashwagandha, but where they gave mice adaptogens and then put them into a bucket of water and then would see if they either use the ladder to get out or if they just swam longer, because now the adaptogens allowed them to swim longer. Don't be the mouse that swims longer, guys.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Use the ladder. When you have the adaptogens, the goal of the adaptogens, they give you a little bit of a buffer in response to stress. So you're not kind of as triggered as much by all the stress that is going on in our lives constantly. And you have just that little bit more spaciousness so that you have a little bit more cognitive capacity, consciousness to apply to you know, what do I really want in this life? And how do I, you know, how do I express my highest self? So use that little bit of buffer to use the ladder and not just to swim longer.
Love that. So to round it out before we run out of time here, this was an awesome convo and we're like so happy we got to connect, and we just want to, you know, ask if there's any exciting news in this upcoming year. It could be personal, business, for Rasa, for you, or just like anything you're looking forward to.
Oh gosh, so much right now. I mean, going a little retro, but we just closed a $4.2 million community funding round. So
wow.
For us, we're trying, thank you very much. That made us the number one community funded food brand, and the number two woman founded brand. So awesome. Yeah, a huge, huge round for us, really big. And we have 3,000 investors who are, you know, our customers and, you know, super big advocates, which is amazing. So that capital gives us a lot to work with. And I really just love the community funding, crowdfunding, equity crowdfunding model, because like we're striving to be a regenerative business. Our goal is to give people regenerative energy, not just energy for today, but also energy for the long haul, because we're replenishing you with the herbs. But then crowdfunding is regenerative capital, because you're uplifting the whole ecosystem that makes your business possible. Like we have suppliers who are invested in us, and you know, 90% are our customers and our manufacturers invested. You know, it's just like it uplifts the whole ecosystem, and then regenerative in our supply chain as much as possible as well. And then that's giving us a lot of opportunity to, I think the most exciting things, we have a new launch coming January 1st, June 1st, which I think you guys got a taste of.
And yes, it's incredible. Delicious.
Yes. Our golden chai, which was our number one requested product. And then we sold out. And the joke at Rasa has been like, anytime we put out anything, whether it's a social post, an email, someone is like, when is golden chai coming back? because like, people just love it so much. Yeah. So very excited about that. And then we are also working on new and faster formats for brewing Rasa as well. So you can take it on the go, traveling, all that good stuff. And then we're also working on major retail expansion. So many good things coming up. Very exciting, all of it.
Yay. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Our girlies would be so excited to, you know, go through all this. I think the adaptogen book, everyone's going to be super hype about. I think trying the products, people will be very excited about. So we'll have all that linked in the description if you are listening now. But thank you, Lopa. This was an awesome convo.
And I don't want to forget to say, because sometimes I do, we have a discount code if you're listening. Girlies15 will get you 15% off. And that also can be combined with the subscription discount, which is 20%. So that's like a nice fat discount.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. That's good to know. I'll put that in the description too. Thank you, girlies. We will, you know, we will stay in touch and we'll see you on the meme page. But thanks for listening. Bye, guys.